Christian Carroll, what's your first impressions of Hong Kong?
I think the strongest impression I have is this odd combination of cosmopolitanism and South Chinese parochialism. It's a very interesting combination. You feel this very, very strong, distinct regional spirit, very, very distinct local psyche. And then at the same time, that coexists very harmoniously with all of these other influences, like the British colonial influence. And I find that fantastic. Plus, the weather is marvelous. I really was in the mood for a dose of good weather. And so I came here, and I'm walking around with a shirt and nothing else. And it's a great relief after the Siberian climate of the place I came from.
What do you think are the three adjectives that describe you best?
I think it would be adventurous, curious, and tired.
Are you normally tired, or is that just at the moment?
Maybe just at the moment, but I certainly feel tired all the time these days. I'm probably doing a bit too much. And I have two small children, which is an important factor. I didn't used to be this tired, but having children certainly helps to put you there.
And what do you think is your greatest strength?
I think my greatest strength is skepticism. I'm a very questioning person. I find it hard to accept any received ideas.
And how does that help you in life?
It gives you a good questioning, critical take on things. And I think that's very important in the age that we live in, where the internet, globalization, all these are phenomena that place a great emphasis on critical intelligence rather than just unquestioned acceptance.
And conversely, what do you think is your biggest weakness?
Nervousness. The great difficulty of concentrating on things, of not being driven along by the next thing that comes along. I probably, again, I think my life probably has too many things going on in it.
Well, you don't come across as very nervous.
Oh, good. Well, that's a relief. I'm covering it up well.
What's your favorite food?
I think right now it's Japanese food in general and tempura soba in particular. I just developed an incredible fondness for that when I lived in Japan. It's one of these amazing things which is extraordinarily rich in flavor and yet healthy and soothing and comforting at the same time, and it doesn't make you fat. I mean, what other food can you say that about? I don't know. It's
cucumber, maybe?
maybe, but I don't think of cucumbers as comfort food.
No, neither do I.
Good soba really is comfort food. It's one of those amazing things that tastes good and it's actually good for you.
And Hong Kong's known for its cuisine. What are you looking forward to eating most in Hong Kong?
Everything. I want to try everything. I love the food of China and Japan and Korea, so I'm absolutely at home here as far as food is concerned.
You just talked about your favorite food being Japanese food. You've lived in Japan. What's your favorite place on the planet?
I think that would have to be Istanbul. It's just the greatest place in the world. I'm very fond of the Middle East. I'm very fond of Europe. I'm very fond of a lot of places in the world, but they all seem to come together in Istanbul. It's an amazing layering of different cultures, different periods in history. And then you have the water, very much actually like Hong Kong. Wherever you are, you're on a hill looking down onto the water with boats going back and forth. And there's just something incredibly eternal and beautiful about it, and at the same time, very vibrant and active. And it's just kind of a combination of everything. Plus, the food's good. So it's a hard mix to beat.
I'm sure this is going to be a difficult question for you because I know you've read a lot of books. What's the best book you've ever read?
Yeah, well, I can't name just one. I'm very fond of Marcel Proust. I'm very fond of Vladimir Nabokov, very fond of Robert Musil, the Austrian novelist. I think that's probably my big three. There are a lot of English writers I like a lot, but for some reason, this trio attracts me particularly.
And what about music? What are your favorite pieces of music or your favorite piece of music?
Well, I'm a big Mozart fan. I love Mozart, and can't really survive without him for any prolonged period of time. In pop music, I'm a huge fan of U2. I totally love U2, and I'm a big fan of Bono. And he's actually a very good writer as well, which makes it even funner for me.
And is there one song in particular you like by U2?
Oh, yeah, I love Walk On. Do you know that song? It's a fantastic song, which is a fantastic song, which is great because, for me, my favorite works of art have many things going on in them at once. And it's a great example of that because it's just a great rock tune. It's an anthem. It's a great song. And yet it's also political. It's banned in Burma because it's about Aung San Suu Kyi. And if you're caught singing, caught with that song in your iPod in Burma, I don't think anybody there has an iPod. But if you were caught with it, you'd be thrown in jail. So it's a very interesting collision of things.
And you just mentioned there works of art. What's your favourite work of art, be it a play, a film, a book, a piece of sculpture?
Well, I'm a huge movie fan. There are just countless movies that I would have to mention. But I think my favourite visual artist is Vermeer. I love Vermeer, and I've had the great luck to see a lot of his paintings live in the flesh, however we would say it. And they never fail to astonish, because there's an essential mystery to them that you can never quite get over. And nowadays, we live in an age when a lot of works of art are very easily explained and kind of marketed and reduced to their component elements. And the thing that keeps me coming back to Vermeer is that you can never quite figure it out.
In life, what's your greatest fear?
Something happening to my children.
And your biggest regret?
I think my biggest regret is having children too late. I waited too long to have children. I was probably, like so many people nowadays, worried about the limitations to my personal freedom and so on and so forth. And now I think that, looking back, I think that was probably a bit silly. You know, one piece of advice I would certainly give to people is, you know, don't be afraid to take the plunge and have kids.
Which person, living or dead, do you admire most?
I think I'd have to say Charles Darwin, oddly enough, because he was a person who completely upended everything that people thought about the world, and probably shaped the modern age more profoundly than just about any person I can think of. And yet he was a loving father who took marvelous care of his kids and cared about them a lot. And he was very much in love with his wife and was a great husband, and seems to have been, by all accounts, a fairly kind and gentle person. And I'm fascinated by this combination of, I'm a great naturalist. I love nature and wild things. But there's something incredibly powerful about this combination of someone who was a destroyer of the old orthodoxy, and in his private life, quite a decent person. You know, it doesn't usually go together that way.
And you're not allowed to pick Darwin for this answer, but who would you like to sit down and have dinner with most?
I think it would have to be Marcus Aurelius, because he's a unique figure in history. He was a man of immense power, and he was a soldier, he was an emperor, he was a person who had vast power over individual people's lives, and yet he was also a philosopher and a writer and a literary person on quite a high level, and somebody who thought deeply about the big questions. And again, I find that an incredibly powerful combination. Nowadays, we have politicians who are pure politicians. They don't really do much else. We have intellectuals who pretty much don't do much else. They would never, you know, lower themselves into politics. But he's someone who did all the big things at once and was able to be power politician and then think critically about his actions. Even though I'm sure he got his hands very dirty and had a lot of blood on his hands, because he had to. He was a general. And, you know, probably gave lots of unsavory orders to the secret police and so on and so forth. I'm not romanticizing him, but it's just that combination of things that I find very compelling. And it'd be great to sit down in the Malaysian restaurant here on Bonham Road and, you know, hear how he managed that.
Who or what is the love of your life?
My wife. And marzipan.
Marzipan?
Yes, marzipan. Yeah. Took me a while to understand it, but...
What advice would you give to the students that you're going to be teaching here at the JMSC about life in general?
Oh, that's easy. Take risks. I can never emphasize that enough. You know, we live in a very freewheeling, open age, and yet somehow this has to be said all the time. When I was a correspondent in Tokyo, I had the opportunity to meet with journalism students a couple of times, American journalism students and also Japanese journalism students. And I really made a point of telling them this, and it was really amazing. Some of them, after my presentation, went off and got jobs in China or India or places like that, and clearly had not thought of doing that before, but I just, you know, really felt compelled to emphasize, this is a world where you can go out and do these things. And if you don't do them, you're really selling yourself short, because it's a very open world and, you know, people should seize these opportunities and go out and do them. You really want to go out there and challenge yourself.
And final question, how would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as the man who gained his ideal weight.
You better be careful with that marzipan then.
Yeah, that's right. Well, see, those things don't go together, do they? But yes, I would like to be remembered as the person who achieved his ideal weight.